Today we're going to humanize a pad for old-school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not random messiness. We want controlled instability. We want that pad to feel alive, emotional, slightly unruly, but still tight enough to sit inside drum and bass, jungle, or an old-school rave arrangement without falling apart. Think of it like this. The core of the part stays solid, but the edges move. That's the magic. Tiny differences in timing, velocity, filter movement, width, and note length can make a pad feel like a real player is leaning into the tune at 2 a.m. in a smoky rave room. That's the vibe we're chasing. First, start with the right pad sound. Pick something with character, but not too much built-in motion. Wave Eatable is great for this. Drift works beautifully if you want a slightly unstable vintage feel, and Analog is a strong choice if you want warmth and weight. If you're using a sample, a chord stab, vocal texture, or choir-style pad can also be perfect. The key is to choose a sound that already has emotional body in the midrange, but doesn't take over the whole mix. If you're building from scratch in Wave Eatable, a saw on one oscillator and a slightly detuned saw or square on the second oscillator is a solid starting point. Keep the low end under control, use a low-pass filter, and don't go too wide right away. You want room to humanize it later. Also, remember that in DNB and Jungle, the pad should support the drums and bass, not fight them for attention. Now write a simple chord progression. Pads in this style usually work best when the harmony is easy to follow and loops well. Minor progressions are a great place to start, especially things like I to VI to Roman 7 or I to Roman 7 to VI. You can also use suspended chords or tension chords with added ninths. If you want that classic dark pressure, try voicings like a minor, F, G, and E minor, or something like M add 9, G sus 2, F major 7 without the third, and E7 sus 4. A really important coaching point here. Don't overcrowd the voicings. Leave space for the kick, the snare, and especially the sub. Keep the important notes in the midrange. Root and fifth in the lower part of the voicing, then thirds, sevenths, ninths, and suspended tones higher up. That gives you emotion without mud. Once the chords are in, don't just leave them perfectly quantized and identical. That's where the humanization starts. First, vary the note lengths. Some chords can ring full length, others can be shortened a little, and occasionally let one note overlap into the next chord for tension. That overlap is subtle, but it makes a huge difference. It stops the loop from feeling like it was drawn by a machine. Then offset a few notes slightly in time. I mean tiny offsets, not sloppy drag. We're talking about a few milliseconds, maybe 5 to 15 ms, where one chord lands just a hair early and another lands just a hair late. That little push and pull feels musical, like a human player leaning into the beat instead of sitting on top of it like wallpaper. Velocity is the next big piece. Even pads can benefit from velocity variation, especially if your synth responds to it. Give the main chord hits a little more energy, then soften repeated hits or inner voices. You can even accent the top note on certain changes to create a stronger emotional contour. If your instrument doesn't react much to amplitude velocity, map velocity to something useful like filter cutoff, wave eatable position, or envelope amount. That way, the notes don't just hit louder or softer, they actually feel like they're opening and closing. In Ableton Live 12, you can reinforce this with the MIDI effects. A velocity device before the instrument can help shape the dynamic range, but keep it subtle. Don't overcompress the expression. And if you use random, use it like seasoning, not like the main ingredient. A tiny amount of variation can be useful, but this style really benefits more from manual choices than from heavy randomization. Now let's talk groove. Ableton's groove pool is excellent for adding just enough swing to make the pad feel musical, but you have to be careful. Apply a light groove, maybe around 10 to 25% timing, and keep velocity swing gentle. A pad can sit a little behind the drums, and that can sound amazing in DNB, because it creates push and pull. But if you overdo the swing, the pads start sounding drunk instead of tense. We want urgent, not messy. After the MIDI is feeling good, move to the sound shaping chain. Start with EQ8 and clean up the frequency space. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on the patch. Cut muddy low mids if needed, maybe around 250 to 500 Hz. And if there's a nasal edge, you can tame a little around the upper mids. The idea is to make sure the pad sits behind the drums and bass instead of crowding them. Next, use auto filter as your main movement tool. A low pass mode works really well here. Start with the cutoff fairly closed, then automate it slowly across phrases. Open it up before transitions, Pull it back when the drop lands, and let it breathe with the arrangement. This is where the pad starts to feel like it's reacting to the track. It's not just playing chords, it's performing the energy of the tune. Then add chorus ensemble for width and motion. Keep it tasteful. You want the pad to feel spacious and alive, but not facey or washed out. A slow, subtle modulation works best. This kind of movement is one of the easiest ways to make a static pad feel human, because it adds tiny shifts that never quite repeat in exactly the same way. For old school character, add some grit. Saturator is perfect for this. A small amount of drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, with soft clipping on, can make the pad feel more like it belongs in a rough rave system. If you want a heavier edge, drum bus can work too, but use it lightly. The goal is density and attitude, not destruction. Reverb comes next, but be careful. In drum and bass, too much reverb can quickly turn the mix into soup. Use a reverb with a little pre-delay so the chord keeps its identity, and filter out the low end of the reverb return so it doesn't cloud the groove. Longer tails can work in breakdowns, but in the drop you usually want less wash and more definition. Use utility to keep an eye on width and mono compatibility. A wide pad sounds huge in headphones, but if it disappears in mono, it's a problem on a club system. So check that regularly. You can run the pad fairly wide in atmospheric sections, then narrow it up a bit when the drums get denser. That contrast is powerful. And that brings us to the real humanization layer, automation. Automate filter cutoff, reverb depth, width, chorus amount, even to tune if your synth supports it. Think in phrases. Let the pad open up as a section builds, then narrow and calm down when the drop hits. You can even use automation to make the pad behave almost like a supporting percussion layer. Shorter attacks, tighter releases, and filtered tails can make it breathe with the break instead of floating above it. Arrangement matters a lot here too. In the breakdown, give the pad more width, more reverb, and more openness. In the drop, strip it back, reduce the wash, tighten the timing feel, and let the kick, snare, and bass dominate. Then bring the pad back with a small variation, maybe a different voicing, a different octave, or a slightly altered filter range. That kind of call and response is classic old-school pressure. It keeps the energy moving. If you want even more realism, resample the pad. Print it to audio, then chop it up. Nudge slices slightly off-grid, reverse a tail, or retrigger a few pieces in a new way. Once you commit to audio, you can sculpt the performance even further. This is a great way to get that haunted tape feel, especially in jungle and rave-influenced sections. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't over-humanize everything. If every note is late and every change is random, the pad stops feeling expressive and starts feeling sloppy. Don't let the low end build up unnecessarily. Pads with too much bass will fight your sub and kick. Don't make everything huge and wide all the time either, because the mix needs contrast. And don't drown it in reverb just because reverb sounds cool. The best tension comes from control. If you want a deeper, darker vibe, use tension tones like ninths, elevenths, suspended notes, and restrained minor seconds. Roll off the top end a little if you want a more vinyl-like old-school character. Add a second quiet layer underneath, like noise, tape hiss, choir texture, or a slightly detuned duplicate, and humanize that layer differently from the main pad. Layered variation is often more convincing than one giant humanize move. Here's a solid mini exercise. Build a 4-bar chord loop in a minor key using Wavetable or Drift. Humanize it with small timing offsets, velocity differences, and slightly varied note lengths. Then add EQ8, auto filter, chorus ensemble, saturator, reverb, and utility. Automate the filter across the 4 bars. Open the reverb at the end of the phrase, and narrow the width right before the drop. Then bounce it to audio and compare it against a fully quantized version. You'll hear the difference immediately. The humanized version should feel more alive, more emotional, and more in conversation with the drums. So the big takeaway is this: humanize with intention. Keep the harmonic rhythm clear. Add instability at the edges, not at the core. Let the pad open and close over time. Shape it with timing, velocity, movement, saturation, and space. That's how you get a pad that doesn't just fill the background, but actually pushes emotion, tension, and motion against the drums. That's the old school rave pressure sound.